taped in front of a live... Jeffy and Friends is taped in front of a live studio audience.
Man, this virus is everywhere.
Seriously, I'm pretty sure I saw a homeless guy selling vaccines on the subway.
I don't think that's real, but we are out of weed.
Damn it.
Hey, Dave.
Damn it, the key to my apartment isn't working anymore.
What? What do you mean?
The key to my apartment. I sold it to this tourist on the street. I told him it was the key to the vaccine.
Jesus, really, Dave?
Wow, that works? How much did you get?
Not nearly enough. Dave asked if he could sleep over my place.
Damn.
Does anyone knock anymore?
Do you have any idea who you sold it to?
Shit, nah.
Well, maybe we could make him a new key. Can't be that expensive.
Nope. He sold his lock last week as an AIDS cure to a guy from Maine.
Plum Love Foods Live, every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio.
Of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
I'm gonna shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Plumber Foods Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Plum Love Foods Live here on a Thursday, October 15th, 2020, on planet Earth, the galaxy, the Milky Way. That's right. Jeffy, I don't know if saying the galaxy works because I'm pretty sure if we're talking to someone from another galaxy, they don't know what the fuck the Milky Way is.
I don't know, man. They've been here a while, apparently.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've been following any of that. There's aliens everywhere.
I have, and the good news is we're going to address that very,
very soon. Did you see
the
meteor? Did you see the meteor that they found, like, life on in Fiji?
You told me all about that. I haven't seen the... I got to look it up. I forgot to look that up, and I need to. And you know what the good news is that coming up very soon, being that it is October, Jeffy, one of our favorite guests that we have is going to stop by the show very, very soon. And
the Renaissance man of all things esoteric.
That's right. David Weatherly is going to be on the show here in a couple of weeks. So we're going to ask him about those aliens. I can't wait.
He probably knows one.
Bro, he's probably got one in his basement, no doubt about it. But tonight, more importantly, tonight, we have what I think, Jeffy, I'm telling you, I think that this particular person may become one of my favorite people. We talked to her on the phone for a few minutes here before the show starts, and I'm kind of getting a little enamored.
Absolutely. I've been I've caught up on all her latest show, Smart Eats, on YouTube, and it's amazing. Well, and she's so personable and so fun, and I can't wait to hopefully get to California at some point and hang out with her in person.
That would be amazing. Chef Monte Carlo is going to join us here in a little bit and talk about what motivates her, what gets her out of bed every morning, and what makes her continue to make amazing food and great content. I can't wait to talk about that. Plus, we put a poll up on the Instagram earlier today asking you about what ingredients you thought sounded amazing together, and then you put them together, and Jeffy, what happened? It was a fail.
It happens, man.
It does.
It's happened to me a few times, man. I try to do something really cool, and I don't think it all the way through, and then, like, you know, I'm like, oh, shit, I can't serve this.
Nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Or it looks delicious, and then you pivot, and you make it, and then finally you taste it, and all you feel is this. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't work.
Got to call it in the ring at that point, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, then it's like, goes into overtime. That's when it's like chop city.
Oof, not good. So we're going to talk about some of those later, get some of your shout-outs, and find out what motivates you to make bad food and what some of those bad dishes are. I'm looking forward to doing that. But, you know, listen, before all that, Jeffy, I got to tell you, what a crazy, amazing day I've had today. I'm not even going to lie to you.
That's great. I love hearing that. Why? Why was your day so crazy and amazing, Plum?
Well, let me tell you. I'm glad you asked, Jeffy. Our show, we did a few months back, right before COVID. Remember that one, Elite Chef?
Of course I remember Elite Chef. It was one of my favorite times. We had a great time.
Amazing, right?
Production company was amazing. Mac Media, love those guys. All the contestants were amazing. All my co-judges, the producer and host, Chef Plum, what a guy.
Hey, that guy's good, I heard.
Yeah, and then we blew it out at all the Eli restaurants, and then the big blowout at the end at that brewery.
Illicit Brewing Company.
What a, what a blast, man. Too many sours for Daddy, but we had a good time.
That's true. Well, here's the good news. It's going to be super easy to relive that really, really soon, Jeffy, and everybody across the country can. That very program, the full season, all seven episodes, are going to be on Amazon Prime here very shortly.
Shut the front door.
Oh, yes. The door is shut, and I'm bringing it inside. Elite Chef will be on Amazon Prime.
I can't wait to tell my mom. It's going to be awesome.
Did you say tell your mom?
Hell yeah. Because then she's going to go to church and tell everybody there, and I'm going to be fucking church famous.
Yeah. What's better than church famous? That's what I'm talking about, Jeffy.
Hell yeah. I bring bells at the picnic, son.
My man. You bring your own donation plate. Wait, they don't call it a donation plate. What's it called?
Yeah, then they're all like, oh, Chef Jeff's here. Hey, Jeff, taste my ambrosia. And I'm like, oh, I will.
Wow.
I'm all up in that ambrosia. Hmm.
So, yeah, that's happening. That's going to be awesome. Very, very excited about that. So that's a fun turn of events for the day. We're excited to have that happen. Also, man, big shout-out to Dam of Beats from New York dropping these awesome beats. I'm digging this music.
Yeah, this dude's dope, man. We're going to get him on. I'm going to reach out to him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But the other thing that was pretty cool, Jeffy, and I could talk about it a little bit. By the way, you're getting lots of excitement for Church Famous, which is, by the way, is going to be our next. It's going to be our shirt for the show. I'm Church Famous. Awesome. I thought I was trying to work out the faction. I was trying to work out the brand. Nope, it's Church Famous.
Yeah, baby.
That's what I'm talking about, Jeffy. Sometimes you drop so many dimes on people, so much. Beautiful tens when it comes to your
gems,
lines. I don't think you realize
it. I'm always dropping gems. There's jewels just dripping from
That's
me.
That's it.
People don't know.
Also today, Jeffy, your boy here had a third callback for a new program on the History Channel.
Damn, you're on fire.
Third callback, sir.
You're on fire today, sir. Well, I wonder why you're feeling so good.
It's good, man. Yeah, it's not bad at all. It's been a good day. It's been a good day. A lot of work, a lot of conversations, a lot of smiling. I got my hair cut. It's been a good day.
That's amazing.
Hell yeah.
That's amazing. How are you looking with the hair?
Let me tell you something. I went and saw my guy Eddie.
Full Hulk?
My dude Eddie cut my hair. He's he's Portuguese. Does a fantastic job.
Oh.
Does a good job.
You say Bom Dia. No, I guess that's Brazilian. That's not quite what they speak Portuguese, but it's not Portuguese.
Yeah, we just smile a lot. He's good. He knows I love him.
That's awesome. I used to have a dude named Stephen that was from Colombia, and he didn't speak a lick of English to me, but I loved him. And he used to do my beard. No bullshit. He put a straight razor on his finger, and he would hold it on his finger and line me up with just a razor on his in his hand.
That's
like some straight up. Dude, it was the best haircut ever. I miss him. He went back to...
Damn, that's what's up. I'm going to give my guy Eddie a shout-out, too, because he gave me a shave, too. I wasn't sure if they're supposed to with COVID, but he did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get a little trimmer on the outside. I got to hold the mask up, but my boy, hi. You know, I use the Barber 33, the barbershop in Southampton. Those are my dudes that being hi. And the rest of the boys in there. You gotta, if next time you're in the Hamptons, you come through there, I'll get you cut, get you lined up. Dave used to go there too. They're good dudes.
Yeah, I want to go check them out. But tonight, speaking of good people, Monte Carlo. Chef Monte Carlo is going to join us tonight. She has so much stuff going on. I was looking at her resume and things that she's done. Holy shit, she's been everywhere. I can't wait to talk to her and break some knowledge and learn a couple of things about her. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Dude, she's done so much stuff. I'm like, I can't wait to ask her about it. I don't know how, and she's a chef on top of all that. I'm like, right. She's busy. That's awesome.
That's it.
And so, she's a mom.
And a mom.
That's right.
So I'm going to pop the top on a cold one here, Jeffy. I'm going to adjust my bar stool. I'm going to get some volumes adjusted. And then we come back. I think we should break that conversation down and get Monte Carlo on the program. What do you think?
Ready.
Yeah, what happened there? Did the wires fall loose?
I don't know. I said, let's do this.
I didn't
and then they went quiet.
We didn't hear you say that. Well, anyway, that's the plan. When we get back, we're going to be hanging out with Monte Carlo. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait to talk to us. It's your boy, Chef Plum. Chef Jeff Plum Love Foods Live here on a Thursday in October, October 15th. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco, and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com.
Every 100 years, an idea comes along that changes the way we think.
One small step for man, one giant step for
man. It molds us as people, outlines social norms, and brings us full circle in life.
Go ahead, son. Fetch that cleaver and stump. It's time to take out that cock.
Mommy, where does chicken meat come from?
Yeah, how do we kill these chicken to eat now when we raise them, Trevor?
A dream turned into a reality. So inspiring, so creative, it needs no introduction. Chef tested, poultry farmer approved, and endorsed by the Church of Jesus and Latter-day Saints. Introducing Cock Blocks. The first cutting board guillotine designed to lock in that cock just before you lop its top. Comes complete with ergodynamic blood pool, adjustable leather straps, three blade choices, and a face splatter shield just in case. Now you can take your cock harvesting to the next level. Take it to Cock Blocks.
Order now online, www.cockblocks.com. That's blocks with triple X. The first 100 orders will receive a free child-size splatter shield.
A sizzle plate product.
Plum Love Foods Live right here on a Thursday. About to drop some awesome episode for you guys as soon as our man Jamma Beats drops that beat for us right now. Woo. Yeah, that's right. It's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeff. Tonight, Jeffy, got a great guest on the program. You know, it's funny. We get a lot of guests and people that we know and friends and people we've talked about or been in contact with at festivals and things like that. But occasionally we make new friends, and I still think that's exciting that we get a chance to do that.
Absolutely. I love making new friends. That's one of the best parts about doing this podcast, all the new people we meet, all the chefs we meet, and how far food takes us into so many different corners of the world, right? I mean, it's wild.
It's unbelievable. Well, tonight, definitely in there with meeting cool people, and I'm hoping to make a brand new friend tonight. She's an amazing chef. She's done demos all over the world. She's been on television programs literally all over the world, whether it's digital stuff, TV stuff, working at Food Network, working on her own network that she's got going on, doing commercials. And, you know, even if I'm reading this correctly, I think she even interviewed Lady Gaga, which, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, that's the best thing I've ever heard in my life, aside from hearing her lovely voice on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to our new friend, Monte Carlo.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, friend.
How are you?
I'm awesome pants. Thank you for that beautiful intro. I feel so fancy.
Oh, well, listen, you definitely are fancy being on this program, though. But let me tell you what happens. When you come on this program, you bring our level of fanciness way up. So we appreciate that.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. You guys are so cute. I love it.
Well, we're so happy and stoked to talk to you. Literally, you have been everywhere, all over the world, doing so many fun things. So many amazing things, and your mom. I have to ask you, Chef, where do you get the time? Where does the time come from?
Oh, I don't have a personal life.
Oh, good.
so I have plenty of time. Yeah, you know, when you got no love,
well,
you got all sorts of time to... Oh, that came out like I was so sad about it, but
I know,
I'm really not.
I was like,
it's so much simpler. No, it's like, you know what, life is so much simpler when you're by yourself. It just is. I feel like I'm developing into like this crotchety 80-year-old lady, and I'm all about it.
Amazing.
Right, no compromise.
Yeah,
you're like,
right?
I run my own show.
That's it. Hey, what is this, you interviewed Lady Gaga? What?
Yeah, so I did radio for 15 years, yeah. And it was morning radio, and I got to interview her when she was doing the rounds for her pop art, or art pop. No, it was pop art. I can't remember the name of the album.
Pop art sounds good.
She was so cool. And yeah, we talked about art, and we talked about, you know, kids, but I love talking about, you know, how you influence kids, and you know, she talked about how you can figure out what your artistry is simply by pushing yourself and going out there and doing it instead of making excuses, which sounds simple, but as you guys know, because you're both artists, it really is about being like, forget it, I'm just going to go and try. And if I fail, yeah, so be it. And that's what she did, and that's how she became Lady Gaga.
Man, it's so amazing. Did you do it in person, or was it over, like, was it a phone?
It was a phoner. It was okay. A phoner. I don't know what I would do if I had to do it in person. I don't handle that very well.
I don't think, Jeffy, I don't think you know, like, I'm kind of obsessed with Lady Gaga. I don't know if you ever knew that.
I had no idea, and I am fascinated by that statement.
This begs the question, what is your favorite Gaga song?
Oh, man. Right now, literally, it's on my playlist when I'm driving home from the city, A Million Reasons. I sing at the top of my lungs.
Oh,
I don't give a shit. Absolutely.
I love it.
That movie made me cry like a...
No, I haven't. I can't watch the movie. I can't watch sad love story movies. I get too emotional. I'm a Pisces.
Oh, dude, no, I cried so hard. Like, like that hard. That's how hard I cried at that movie. And I even knew it was going to happen. I totally knew it was going to happen. And I still cried, like, sobbing.
That's great.
So did
I
you,
love it.
Did you, like, was radio just something you fell into, or was it something you wanted to do? Did you aspire to, like, hey, I want to work in radio?
Okay, so I'm so old, and MTV used to actually play music videos, and they had a thing called, a VJ.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you guys know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I wanted
dude.
To be a VJ.
Dude, you know, I was in love with Kennedy.
Contest.
Remember Kennedy when she was just doing
VJ?
Oh,
yes, I love Kennedy.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Such a badass. Yeah, so... I wanted to be on MTV, and I wanted to be a VJ, and I actually went and tried out, and it was crazy pants hard. And so I went back home to Atlanta, and I decided I was going to take, like, a radio TV course, and yeah. I ended up just falling in love with radio. And that's how I got started. I got started in radio in Atlanta. I actually got hired by the guy that hired Howard Stern for his, like, first major market gig. The whole story is so bananas. I got hired in my Batman pajamas. It was crazy.
What?
Pants. I can't believe this dude even hired me. It was crazy pants.
Well, obviously you're amazingly likable.
But Batman pajamas?
No, I was not likable. Well, because, listen, okay, this is like such a ridiculous story, but it's all true. My third day in radio school, I got crushed by a dump truck. I passed out before the horrible stuff happened, so I don't remember. All I remember is waking up in the hospital. I guess I'd been, like, induced into a coma, and I had, like, a punctured lung and all these broken bones. Anyway, long story short, I didn't want to lose my deposit on this radio course because it was $5,000, and $5,000 is a lot when you're waiting tables, okay?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So
okay.
I dragged myself out of the hospital and just popped a leave like they were M&Ms because they wouldn't give me any painkillers. And, I finished this radio course, and I sent out a bunch of fake air checks, and this guy, Dwight Douglas, liked one of my air checks. But I didn't really think it was Dwight Douglas on the phone, because Dwight Douglas is hella old, and he sounded like it was, like, a 17-year-old. So I thought it was some goofs from my radio class, like, being like, yeah, bitch, Dwight Douglas, we want to hire you. So I was like, right, right. And this was before Google Maps. So they gave me, you know, a street address, and I mapped out how to get there. And when I got there, it wasn't a house, because I thought they were going to, you know, I was going to end up at a house. No, it was a building. And when I went inside, I asked the security person, I was like, hey, is there a radio station in this building? And he's like, yeah, on the fifth floor. And then when I go up there, the receptionist is like, the receptionist is like, I'm like, does Dwight Douglas actually work here? And he was right behind me. And I had not showered, okay, like in over a week because I was broken, okay?
Oh my God.
And so to get all the glass out of my scalp, they had like shaved me down and my hair was going back in patches. I was in full-on Batman pajamas, okay? And like the dirtiest Chucks. It was bad news bears all the way around. And he's like, though, are you my 3 o'clock?
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There's so much to unpack right there. Okay. You might need to stay on the rest of the night till like 3 a.m. How the fuck did you get run over by a dump truck? Can we start with that?
Okay, I don't know what happened. I for real don't know what happened. I was just exiting my subdivision. I'm not a great driver. I guess, like, this person wasn't supposed to be on this side street because it was a little tiny street. But they were on there, and it was one of those, like, 16-wheelers.
Oh, my God.
And they ended up on top of my little Toyota, and they had to use the jaws of life to cut me out. I don't remember any of this.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bananas.
Terrifying.
You're a fucking beast.
Soldier. Listen to her.
No.
Wow. I'm just going to eat some Aleve and get back in the goddamn
game. It was $5,000.
Fuck
that. I'm not a beast. I'm just cheap. I was not losing that $5,000.
She's like,
no.
I'm going to show them that Carson Daly isn't shit.
Couldn't you have sued the shit out of the guy who ran you over and got $5,000?
No, I didn't. You know what? I just figured he was probably feeling pretty bad about it.
Oh my God.
Didn't do anything.
Oh. Can you just run us through your injuries really quick? You said you had the punctured lung. This is so crazy to me. Like you're a fucking champion.
No, I had a punctured lung and I had like cracked bones in my neck. Do you know how many ribs you have in the human body?
Well, let me see. Let me count.
13.
Is it 14?
13, isn't it?
Women have more.
Okay. But that's what I thought, bitch. I thought we had like a dozen, 14 tops.
Yeah.
And no, we have over 20 ribs, and 19 of mine were broken.
Holy shit.
What? Yeah.
And there's nothing they can really do. It's like you put a cast on a rib. They just put you in like you.
No, exactly.
You can't laugh, and you like, can't breathe heavy.
Breathing hurts.
Just hurts.
Anything. Yeah, everything hurts.
And you're going to go talk on the radio class now.
What happened?
And you're going to go talk in a radio class now with 19 broken ribs.
I know, but it was fine because I truly don't remember the pain. I really don't. It's kind of like giving birth, you know?
Wow.
When I look back on it, I look back on it fondly. I'm like, that was a really cool thing to do. You know, you go to radio school And then I had to stay there super late, and I would get there really early because my mom had to drop me off because my car was crushed.
Yeah.
So she's like, sorry, you're going to hear at 6 in the morning, and I'm picking you up after work.
Wow.
So it's like, I was there all day, and it was like a 3-hour class, so that gave me plenty of time to play. And you guys know, I'm sure you guys are like gearheads. You know, it's just fun to play with stuff and make air checks, and I was listening to your little intros, and you guys goof off. I love that. What I did, you know?
It was a real commercial, Monte Carlo.
I got hired.
I know what you're talking about.
Right.
Wow, that's amazing. So you go, you have this crazy accident. You're trying to start a radio career because you were, hoping to host that show, TRL, and turns out you almost get killed and then end up getting radio jobs, which is kind of crazy. But listen, radio is a great step to do lots of things. You meet a lot of people. You can do lots of things from there, right?
And it teaches you your voice, which is really important. You know, it really shows you what people react to, and it also shows you how to listen.
Right.
It really teaches you that sometimes the best thing that you can do is stay quiet and let someone really express themselves. And that has gone really far for me in life.
You know, I think what's amazing about what you just said there is so many people who are trying to get into doing, whether it's digital content or podcasting or something like that, the hardest thing I think for people to learn is sometimes you have to shut up and listen. It's not always wait for your turn to talk, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly it. You so nailed it. People are so busy formulating the thoughts in their head. This is, I'm going to respond to this. They're not present. And when you're not present, it's a useless conversation.
Unbelievable. Man, I want to talk to her more, Jeffy. I want her to stay.
Absolutely.
Aww.
So how does it go from doing this stuff and almost getting killed by a monster truck to being this amazing cook? How does that happen?
It's 7 letters, and it rhymes with T-horse.
Okay,
divorce.
Oh. Are you going to let us try? We're going to try to guess.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
So you said I get a divorce and now I'm going to cook because I'm angry.
Well, sorta. I got a divorce, and to make a real long story short, I ended up with 0 money, even though I thought I had all this money. Long story short, I didn't. So I had a little baby. He was like 1.5, 2 years old. My man, Danger Davis.
Amazing name, by the way. I didn't know if we could bring it up.
Thank you.
I've seen it on your social media. His name is absolutely fantastic.
I love that name. And you know what? We are going to be friends because some people are like, you named him Danger? And I'm like, officially, you're not a good person. You know?
Right?
Like, officially.
I'm with you. I think that's crazy.
Thank you.
Hey, my youngest daughter, her name is Remy.
Remy.
Remy Jane.
I love that.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, yes. How old is your daughter?
I don't even know, Monty.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I have 3 of them. I have twins that are 13, and my youngest she just turned 10.
Wait, you have 3 young ladies?
3 girls, yes, ma'am.
Oh, may the force be with you, and 2 twins.
Here's
wow.
The thing. You just beat one of them, but when you beat them, you do it in front of the other one so they know what's on the table. That's all.
Oh, man, they got you wrapped. Don't even play.
I love them very much. I do insist they call me chef, but... so because
Danger only calls me chef when he's mad at me. He'll be like, yes, chef.
I think he's doing it wrong. So the divorce forces you to cook food. How did we get there?
Well, I had to go on WIC, and which is like welfare for when you're real broke and you got a baby. So that, I had to learn how to cook from scratch. And so they would give me these coupons to the farmer's market. I was living in Seattle. And, I really wasn't that learned when it comes to vegetables and all of these things because I really don't care for vegetables.
Okay.
So I would just go and buy a crap ton of apples, and then I would take them home, and I would chop them up and pretend they were my ex-husband's face, and then I would make a crap ton of apple pies. And that's how I taught myself how to make apple pie, and that's really the only recipe that I had mastered when I auditioned for MasterChef, which is really how I got my start in the culinary world.
Wow.
Wow. What a crazy story. Jeff, throw some plugs out there for her while I'm thinking about it, because I'm about to start talking more. And
listen, across all social medias, get out there at the Monte Carlo. Follow her there. And then also go to everythingfood.com and check her out, Smart Eats, her new series. It's awesome. Lots of information. You're going to learn something. Hopefully you're going to make better choices. It's very, very cool. And obviously she's amazing. We love her, and we want you to support the fam.
That's right.
Oh, Jesse, thank you.
No doubt about it. Hey, let me ask you. So, MasterChef, I've had tons of friends who have done that program. You know, it's not for chefs. It's for home cooks, right? And so you go to the show, the audition process, et cetera. You get on there. How different was it than what you thought it was going to be?
Well, first of all, I had never seen the show, okay? And I barely knew who Gordon Ramsay was. All I knew was that he was always yelling and surrounded by fire.
Okay.
Like, I didn't really know. I only auditioned for the show because I was baroque and I couldn't make ends meet, and my rent was due.
Yeah.
And my neighbor was like, hey, if you make it on camera, you get $50. So I was just auditioning to make it on camera to get $50.
Wow.
And it was a hot mess. It was a hot mess. You know, I mean, I brought my apple pie, and the producers love the apple pie, but they ask you all these questions about culinary, and I knew none of the answers. You know, they're like, what are the five mother sauces? And I'm like,
apples.
Cheese, ketchup, let's see, barbecue, definitely ranch.
Yeah.
I would say ketchup? Honey mustard. That's a good one. You know, but they were laughing, and I don't know.
Well, that's the right thing to do in an audition, as you know now. Like, you did the exact right thing.
Well, I did not know. And at the end of it, I was like, did I get on camera? Do I get $50? Because you guys need to pay up. And they're like, no, sweetheart. And this is for, you know, it was like a ridiculous amount of money, like $250,000.
Yeah.
You know, in a cookbook deal, and you get the trophy and the whole nine. And so they let me compete. And it was scary. I mean, it was really scary. I still don't consider myself an amazing chef. You know, I have really low self-esteem when it comes to that because I'm self-taught. And I legit taught myself how to cook by reading like every cookbook that I could get a hold of in the library before they started shooting the show. And while we were shooting the show, they had a cookbook library that instead of hanging out and making friends with people, I would lock myself in my hotel room and just stay up all night reading these books.
Smart.
Good for you.
I don't know if it was so smart, but I mean, all I could think of was if I stay another day, I get another $50, and that's going to help me pay rent and make ends meet for Danger.
Oh my God.
That's all I cared about.
You're amazing. Listen to that. Listen, well, your food looks amazing on your Instagram page. I'm not going to lie. It looks fantastic.
Aww.
You're doing some really, really fun stuff there.
Thank you.
It only takes one, and if you do one, you have a good showing on it, one TV show, you can build off that. But when you build off that, you can't sit around and wait for the phone to ring. You got to make things happen.
You do. You really do. It's a hustle. You got to be a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
But that's with everything in life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. So MasterChef happens, and then next thing you know, you're doing commercials, you're doing things with Food Network. How does
that happen? After MasterChef, I went back to my studio apartment. Like, I had no idea what was going on. And then I got hired to do radio in Phoenix. And while I was in Phoenix, some lady would listen to my show every morning, and she had a friend who's a producer for Super Delicious, and they were casting a show. And so I auditioned for this show, and I made it on as the host. It was called Make My Food Famous, and so I moved to L.A., and we shot, I think, just like a special or a pilot. And that's how I got started. And so then I would just be all up on all the audition sites and all the, you know, all of the sites that list anything that's happening.
You get hooked,
and
right?
I would apply to everything. I would apply to everything. I didn't care anything. So I applied to something, and I ended up going to this audition where this jerk of a dude, he's the biggest jerk I've never in my whole life. This guy, he was like super French and mean, and we were supposed to be partners on this show, And, you know, he was going in to, like, save these restaurants. And so he, you know, he goes into this restaurant and he's, like, berating the chef for letting his wife cook in the restaurant because, you know. Yeah, so I was like, you're right. Women don't belong in the kitchen. How dare you come in here without being pregnant and with shoes on? So disrespectful. And, you know, and then I was like, peace. Fuck you guys. Wow. I'm coming home. And I mean, but I guess like the Food Network people hated him, but they liked me. And so they had me do a show for them. Well, which is bananas.
That's crazy. Awesome. That's amazing, though. I love that so much. Those things just build and build and build. Isn't it? It's crazy how, you know, you do one. The first show I ever did was A Taste on ABC. And
oh, my gosh. How was that?
You know, it was whatever. I made a lot of great friends. I drank a lot of alcohol. And I made a lot of bad jokes. And, you know, the whole show was a work. Aww. None of it was real. You know, it's you know, it was all completely just, you know, fake and whatever, but it's fine. It's the first time doing TV. I was just happy to be there, guy, you know. But you take that one thing and you build it into other things, and that's kind of, you know, what you ended up doing, which is pretty great. And just looking at where you are now from where you were then, and that wasn't even that long ago. I mean, what was that? You're talking, I mean, 8-9 years ago? You were worried about paying rent?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, 8 years ago. I mean, I was still worried about paying rent until a few months ago. it's a hard life. You know how it is. I mean, you're not going to make a crap ton of money working in a kitchen. That's not how it works. You know,
these days you'll make a crap ton of money working in TV either.
Yeah, so true.
It's not what it used to be.
But no joke. It's so true. But I mean, like you just do it because you love it.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
Exactly. It's just, if you find something you love and you're doing it and you have a good time doing it, you can make some money, then that even freaking better. Absolutely. So it's funny. I think we have a lot of mutual friends as I'm looking through your stuff. You know, I'm buddies with Brian Duffy, Rebecca Grubb.
I love Duff.
Yeah, Duffy's awesome, isn't he?
He's a wild
dude.
Man.
He was here in he was in L.A., oh gosh, maybe like a month ago. And he calls me up. I don't know if you're familiar with L.A., but I live in Northridge, and he's like, I'm in Culver City, in Marina Del Rey. So I had to go pick him up in Marina Del Rey, which is about an hour away. And then this is like rush hour traffic. He's like, oh, I want to go to East L.A. So I'm crossing the city in rush hour traffic to East L.A. to get these tacos, but they ended up being the most amazing. Like, he was so spot on. I was like, all right, Duffy. And then we made this whole thing into like, who is going to throw up first? You know, so we're just shoving food in our mouth. At one point, we were driving, and I was like, look at this chicken place. That's a horrible yellow brick. And he's like, that's a real brick. And I'm like, no, that's a fake brick. We were arguing about this brick, and he turns the flipping car around like we're in some stupid, like, Beverly Hills Cop 2 movie. And he's like, we're going to eat here. And it was, like, the most suspicious. It was, like, chicken and pancakes or something crazy. No, chicken and fish. Like, that's all it said. Wow. Chicken and fish. I was like, I don't know.
Yo.
But
in East L.A., chicken and fish?
Yeah, sure. He did it, too.
Wow. Ooh. Chicken and fish and get your checks cashed there while you're eating. It's amazing.
I know, for real. My friend, you've been there.
Listen, it's funny because I'm looking at your at all your stuff on Instagram and whatnot. And it's funny how many times our paths have almost crossed. That festival in L.A. last year in October, I couldn't go.
There?
I couldn't go. So we ended up sending Chef Frank Bellotti came because I couldn't go. So I put him in touch with the people. And then
Frank
is a cartoon character. We love him.
Frank's hilarious.
Which is how we ended up meeting through another good brother of ours, Chef Dave, who was there with Frank.
Oh, I love Chef Dave.
Yeah, no, don't. Sweet. No one loves Dave. Don't say that.
No. I think he's the sweetest.
Mm-mm.
I think he really was just the sweetest.
No, he's the worst.
I'm sorry. I like him.
He's the worst.
Oh, come on.
Just so you know.
No.
Both his legs are fake. No, we love Dave. Dave's fantastic. I suppose I should call him and get him on the show.
He does have Lyme's AIDS.
He does have AIDS. We do know that too. That's the whole story.
Well, it's Lyme's AIDS. It's
Lyme AIDS.
It comes from
Connecticut. Oh, the Lyme AIDS.
It's not plural.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'll say what should I learn.
Well,
it's a new strain of Lyme.
That's right. Well, Monty, your whole resume reads like a how-to book for someone trying to come up in the industry that you're in, trying to make a name for themselves. I got to ask you, you've done work on Food Network here. You've done Food Network in Australia. And I'm dying to know, is there a difference in the two, like working at Food Network Australia or working at Food Network here, or is it the same and they just sell content there? How does that work?
Well, I actually did the show and shot the show here in the States, and then they aired it on Food Network Australia. So I never went to Australia. I didn't even know the show was airing in Australia until I started getting messages from people that were like, "Hey, did you know that your
Tell
name
that
is the same as our
Australia.
Favorite cookie?"
Yeah.
No, I've never been to Australia.
They haven't flown you there? You were a TV celebrity in Australia and they didn't even let you go pedal Joey?
No, I don't even know. It's fine, dude. I don't need to be on a flight to Australia. I'm all good. I'm an avid indoors person. I'm all right. I'm
You're
okay.
You're an avid indoors person?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. So you shot it here and it just aired there.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
It was called Help My Yelp. Help My Yelp.
We hate Yelp here on this program. We hate Yelp with a passion.
Yeah, we don't like Yelp.
You don't like Yelp?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, here's how I feel about Yelp. It's how it is. It is what it is. You know, people have opinions, and this is just the way. This is the word of mouth of our life. You know, and it's unfortunate, but it's all in the palm of someone's hand. And when they're walking down the street, when you could do that, to see where they are going to dine, it really matters. Like, your rating really matters. That's how people make decisions. So instead of wasting energy hating it, and I understand why you would hate it, because it can be completely ridiculous. I get that. But, you know, you got to figure out a way to game the system, because otherwise you're going to get left behind.
You know, I mean, she's got a point there, Jeffy. And, you know, our good friend
Rev. She's got an excellent point.
But our friend Rev Cianci would tell us the same thing. But what we do is we find the absolute most ridiculous Yelp reviews we can find.
And, drizzling shits.
Yeah, and we do a bit here on the show where we read them out loud, call the person out by name, and attack them.
Ooh, a dramatic reading. I love it.
Yeah. We don't. Well, you know what it is? Some people are just shitbirds, and they say terrible things about restaurants that are like,
yeah.
You know, most of the time, I come across them because I just like to look at my friends' Yelp reviews and see like, oh wow, look, they're killing it, and then I'll see like a shitty review that's like somebody just saying something like that, like one person attacks like them because it was COVID, basically, you know, and it was like
that's true,
it was just like, come on, people, the entitlement that I find.
It's so true. With great power comes great responsibility.
Boom.
And a lot of people do not take that responsibility seriously.
Don't you fucking Marvel me.
That's right.
Don't
Marvel me.
Listen, we should have hit the sounder when she said it.
That was good.
Well, Monty, I love talking to you. You're awesome. Seriously, you're so cool. You have so many great stories. I can already tell. I was not expecting to hear about you taking on a dump truck, a 16-wheeler, on your own. That's pretty awesome. And had no idea.
I don't know if I took it on. It definitely won.
Well, you're still standing.
It's a pretty cool origin story, though, I got to say.
I like that
I was hit by a dump truck, and then I became Monte Carlo.
That's right. That was the day that everything changed.
Dump truck survivor.
But I got to ask you. You know, we talk to a lot of young culinarians on this program, a lot of young chefs and young culinary students and people coming up in the industry. You know, what is it that, you know, what motivates you to keep cooking every day?
For me, I truly found the meaning of life on a cutting board. Oh, listen, I'm an easy cry, so if I get emotional, don't you make fun of me. Okay.
Never.
Right. But I really did. I was in a really bad way before I hit Master Chef. Like, I was divorced. My best friend had been shot in cold blood. I was broke. you know, was facing homelessness, and it was a really ugly spot. And Gordon Ramsay was like, oh, are you having a tough time? I don't give a shit, cook, you know? And he really showed me that it's all about imagining what you want to make, gathering your ingredients, preparing them, and executing. And if you fuss it up, you try again, because you can't give up, you know? And for me, that was the most amazing lesson. And that's why I love to cook. I love to cook also because it's what binds us all together. It's the common thread that binds all of us together. And especially this day and age, when we're all so divided, I love bringing us together, you know, period. And food does that like nothing else.
Wow. I mean, honestly, I don't think you...
That was my TED Talk. You're welcome.
Damn. We're like family from another family, you and I, because that's, I mean, Jeff, you've heard me say things very similar to what she just said there. You're absolutely right. I mean, every time we end this program, we end up by saying food is one of the most important things. You know, make sure we give the time it deserves. You know, it brings people together.
Absolutely. Think about everything that happens on the plate. Everything starts on the plate. It affects politics. It affects the environment. It affects the way that you perceive different cultures. It can bring you together with people that were complete strangers and make them friends. I mean, it's a very powerful tool.
So much. And think about the, you know, from an emotional standpoint, where it stands in our lives, you know, just, you know, from the social aspect of your first date, what do? You go out to eat. When you get married, what do? You go out to eat. When somebody dies, what do? We all go eat. That's what we do.
Yeah.
It's such a powerful thing. Oh, Jeffy, I love her. Monty, I love you. That's all I'm just saying.
Oh, I love you too, you guys. This is really fun.
Super fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that we gotta go to one more question Jeffy has for you. Jeffy, throw it to her.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm just going through your IMDb here, and I'm just wondering...
Oh, my God, I totally know what you're going to ask me. Go ahead.
How did we get on this film? I mean, was the title of the...
say the title of the film, Jeffy.
No, my God.
What was it? I think I stepped on you there, Jeffy. What was the title of the film?
Hello, my name is Dick Licker.
I know, it's so bad. It's so bad. First of all, that was... Oh, my God. That was, I love that Batman movie, or that Spider-Man movie. It's the best movie of all time. Anyway, that was not the name of the movie when I signed on to the project, obviously.
The working, Monty, the working title is Flowers and Cranberries. It's going to be a great movie.
I promise you. It was something stupid like the name. No, that was it. The Name Game. That was the name of the movie. And so I played the mom, you know, and I needed the money back then, so I was like, yeah, I'll play a mom. Screw it. And then, I know, right? That's not a stretch for me. And, and then it comes out, and it's like, my name is Dick Licker. And all my managers are like, what is this on your IMDb? We need to get it removed. I'm like, but I won't do it, because I don't have any other movie. Like, when am I going to be able to say I was in a movie? I was in this movie. And I did it, and they changed the name, and so what?
Hell yeah.
But no.
You'd be proud of that shit, Monty.
And it
sounds proud
like
of
it's actually
shit.
A heartfelt family film.
Yeah. Sounds great.
It was hilarious. Oh, my gosh. I tried to watch it with Danger. Danger found it, and we were trying to watch it, and I forgot, like, how redonkulous it was. And, like, 7 minutes in, I was like, buddy, I'm so sorry. I just did not remember. Like,
oh, my God.
It was just all bad news. All of it. Like, the way these kids talk was so filthy. I ruined my child that night. His innocence is gone.
Oh my God. Jeffy, I love this. All of our female chef friends are doing movies. Monty's doing whatever Dick Licker movie that's called. And our friend, very similar, you know, our good friend Manit did the movie with Hallmark Channel. So it's all good.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. I don't know what
amazing.
I got to do.
Congratulations.
As a chef, Manit. How do we get into a movie? I want to do that. I mean, damn. Yeah. I've done commercials. I've done infomercials, but never a movie. What? So that's going to be
Hold
the
on.
Next one.
Can I pitch the movie to you really quick? I think this is the one. Ready? It's they're two chefs that work in a food truck together, but they really want to be pro wrestlers. That's their real dream.
Oh, my God.
So they cook in the food truck by day.
Right.
But at night, they train.
And so it's me and Monty in a food truck, and we're going to go for an intergender tag team title. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, you guys, I don't have any upper body strength.
You don't. It's the movies. We got this. Don't worry about it.
Okay, heard.
Can be the coach. What? Can she be our? She can be our corner man.
Oh, you want to be in the movie?
Of course, I want to be in the movie.
Okay, terrific.
Listen, Monty, you are the best. I love chatting with you. I love talking to you. Hopefully, you'll follow me back on Instagram so we can be friends.
Oh, my gosh. I will totally do that. I'm so sorry. And I'm just thankful that I even know how that platform works. You don't even know. My kid, like, takes the remote control from me all the time because he's like, you are so slow.
And oh, my gosh. You
I was raised on a farm. I was stumped by the solar calculator, okay?
Like, whoa.
This is a crazy magical world that we live in, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but you almost were the host of TRL, so that's how I turned your story.
In
so it's
my
cool.
dream.
That's right. Omonte, we thank you so much for your time tonight. We thank you for coming on and sharing your stories with us. We really appreciate it.
Hey, this was a lot of fun. You guys are so awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. It's amazing. And thank you for being the highlight of my day. This was really, really cool.
This is I don't want her to go away. She's making me feel so
I don't either. Yo, everybody out there right now, go across all social media platforms that you're on. Find her at the Monte Carlo. Give her a follow. Check her out. She's killing it. And also, everythingfood.com, co-founded a network. Our girl is working, and she has a new series, Smart Eats, kicking ass, educating people, making sure people make right decisions. You should definitely watch it. Learn something.
Wait, you know what? Before we let her go, I'm going to be a complete jackass. I was getting so enamored with all the stories, I forgot to even ask about Smart Eats. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, so I co-founded this company, everythingfood.com, and these people were so into knowing what's in your food. And I didn't really know what was in the food. I was like, I cook for a living. I know that I have good food. And I went back to my pantry, and I really didn't know. I really had no idea all the craziness. Like, did you know that they make pizza dough with duck feathers? Did you know that? Did you know that?
Duck feathers?
For real, duck feathers and human hair. They melt it down, okay, and they use it as a dough conditioner.
It's
that is real talk. Google it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where do they find this hair that they can melt down? Because I want to try it.
I forget what the name. I think it's L-cysteine is the name of the chemical that they use.
I think
that
you're missing
make.
The point, Jeffy.
I know, I'm joking.
But I mean, it's so I decided that if I was, you know, had been conned, then probably a lot of other people that weren't such food nerds. Or we're also being conned. And it's really not about saying, oh, don't eat this or eat that, because we all eat what we want to eat, right? All I'm asking for is for people to be super honest about what's in their food. That's it. You know, and so I'm just trying to bring some transparency so people know, like, hey, guess what? That honey that you have is an actual honey. Most honey in the U.S. is a blend of honey and corn syrup.
Yeah, I did know that.
And it's like such a, it's crazy pants, all the stuff that goes on. It's just bananas.
We've got to bring you out to the Hamptons and work with us next summer. You can see we have some amazing farms we work with and great bee farmers. It's pretty cool.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love farmers. Farmers are the best.
And weird. They're weird people too.
Yeah, I've heard, yes.
They can be.
I have met some weird ones, yes.
And you guys are doing some pretty great work with that as well, right? Some pretty cool charitable stuff.
Well, I'm really excited about this new feature that we're doing. It's called Maps. And what it does is it takes, you type in your zip code, and then you create a shopping list. And then it sends your shopping list to every grocery store in your zip code. And then you can compare prices and quality. And you can also compare availability, because we're still in the middle of a pandemic and sometimes grocery stores are out of the thing that you need. And there's nothing worse than getting all geared up to go to the grocery store and then what you need isn't there.
Wow.
You know, so this will also like help people that are going through food insecurity really find their ingredients and what they need to get it through the week at the lowest price possible. So I love that.
Wow.
Because that was me at one point in my life, you know? So sure. I'm so excited about that. And I had nothing to do with it. There's major brainiacs that went to 150 different colleges that speak an alphabet that made that happen. But I'm super stoked that we have it.
Awesome. So and how can people use that? Is there an app for it now, or is it just all online?
It's you go to the website, everythingfood.com, and then you just go through the journey and you make your shopping list, and then it sent it. I don't know. It's the magic of computers.
Do grocery stores have to sign up for it, or how does that work? I'm getting
No. We have grocery partners, and so we have like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of grocery stores all over the country that are a part of our network, and they basically send us their databases. I'm talking out of turn right now.
I don't exactly know
how the whole thing. I'm like, what am I saying? I don't know if I'm saying it right. But yeah, long story short, it's amazing. It's like one of the most amazing. I really think it's going to be revolutionary, and I am like shocked that it's like happening right now. Like you can literally go right now at everythingfood.com and check it out. I mean, it's obviously in beta, you know, so it's got still a few bugs. But what an incredible tool.
Wow.
And so is this just in California, or is this worldwide?
No,
it's
the country. It's the whole country. And,
it'll
be worldwide. But, I mean, you know, for me, the most important thing beyond price is the quality. You know, like, what is the nutritional value of this bag of chips versus this bag of chips? Like, I know they're both not great for me, but which one is a healthier option? And it tells you with one little score. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's so awesome. Like, you don't have to sit there and read the back of the box and be like, now, is this good for me or bad for me? I can't remember this chemical. You know what I mean?
Wow.
It's awesome. All those brainiacs did it.
So that is incredible. You're so inspiring. I feel like I'm becoming a better person just from talking to you. This is awesome.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to make you pie.
I would love some pie. That sounds great. Hey, listen, Monty, there's this food festival that we all do here on the East Coast. It's one of the biggest in the country. It's called the Sun Food and Wine Festival at Mohegan Sun. You know, Brian Duffy's there. I mean, everybody's there. It's the coolest festival in the world. I am going to do it's the same company that does the LNA festival, but it's like five times the size. It's such a bigger festival. I'm going to do everything in my power this year to get you there, okay?
No way!
Because you need to be
there. Oh my gosh!
And completely self-serving.
I would love that. Thank you.
Completely self-serving because Jeffy and I just want to hang out with you.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, totally. I'll tell you all the stories of danger. You'll be like, I wish we had never hung out with her.
No, it's cool. Not going to happen.
We both have kids.
Yeah, not going to happen. We'll love it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So good.
Monty,
it's
listen.
It's so good to talk to people my age. Okay, you got to go.
Well, no, I'm 26, so I'm not, you know.
Oh, are you really 26?
Well, yeah. No, I'm not. I'm in my 40-something.
You got a lot of kids for 26.
Well, adoption.
You know. That's a lot of responsibility at that age, you do.
I'm in my 40s as well as Jeffy, so, you know. We've been around the block a little
bit. It's the best time.
Age is nothing but a number, Chef. And let me tell you what, you are awesome. I'm so glad to make friends with you. I can't wait to talk to you again in the future, and I wish nothing but the best for you. I hope you and Danger stay safe through this crazy time that we're in right now. And honestly, I can't wait to talk to you again. You're amazing. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me, guys. Until we can do cheers in real life. Until then, stay safe, okay?
100%. You as well. We'll talk to you on down the road.
Bye.
There she goes. I don't want her to leave, Jeffy.
No, she's awesome. She could hang out if she wants, but I mean, I don't know. Do you have to go?
She's already gone.
Oh, I was like, she doesn't have to go if she doesn't want to go.
Well, you know, I think it was time. I didn't want to overstay it with her.
You want to? Yeah. Well, I don't know. She was awesome.
It's her first time.
I feel like she can get it.
I really like her a lot. I think there's so much more there to talk about.
Yeah, she's obviously an amazing personality.
She got hit by a fucking truck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. What an origin story, right?
Holy shit. It's
made her fearless. Yeah. I mean, think about it. If you get hit by a truck and you keep on moving, it's like, what else can really fucking stop you? Mm. I mean, she's like, fuck it. I'm going to put on Batman pajamas and go meet this motherfucker about this radio job. I'm gone.
Yeah, that's what's
up. Watch me.
That's what's up. And just doing all this, that grocery apps, that grocery store stuff sounds incredible and what she's doing.
Dude, everythingfood.com. Everythingfood.com. People should get out there right now. If you're buying groceries, go check it out, man. It's smart.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, when you hear someone like that talk with her story, you know how much she appreciates everything, that all the fortune, the good fortune she's had in life and the things that she's worked for. And to me, that means everything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's, dude, awesome person. She sounds super grateful for her, just where she's at. She is blessed, and she sounds like she knows it, and she's working really hard too. You know, like things that she's, everything she's, sounds like she's, I mean, who yeah. gets the job like that? I mean, that story about her in Batman pajamas, missing patches of hair,
unbelievable,
with 19 broken ribs,
unbelievable,
meeting, you know, not even knowing, because the radio station, like, wow, not believing it, it's but so going crazy through with it. It's just so nuts. You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, you know, God bless her. She's fucking killer. I think we made a new friend.
I hope so.
Friend. Good sister, Monte Carlo.
I'm talking to the higher ups at Mohegan Sun tomorrow. I'm going to bring her name up for sure. She needs to be there.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, what a great conversation. What a great new friend. You know, big shout out to our good brother Dave for making that happen. There he is. Hello, young David.
What up?
Yo, David. I was trying all kinds of things to get you on that call with us, but I was having Skype issues.
No worries.
It kept saying call not going through. The same thing happened when we first tried to call Monty as well. Remember, Jeffy?
Yeah.
I kept trying to add you and it wouldn't go through. But, dude, I love her.
Oh, yeah, dude. Alani's awesome. That's, like, the first time I heard she got run over by a dump truck. And, like, I got to hang out with her at the Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah.
That would be the first thing I tell everybody knew on me. I'd be like,
absolutely,
I got run over by a dump truck.
Hey, by the way, a truck hit me and I lived. Fuck you. That's what I would say. Wow.
I would get drunk and just randomly yell it in crowds, like, I got run over by a dump truck. You know, so, like.
Yeah. Well, we for did real. Run you, I don't know if you heard the show, but we did run you down a little bit, allegedly. I don't know if that actually happened or not, but just
what do you mean?
If you hear that happened, it may or may not be true.
Run me down. I heard the show, but like I don't even hear stuff like that anymore.
Well, we
don't
told
you
her,
hear?
We told her about your AIDS and that you may have fake legs.
It's Lyme disease, and you know what? Lieutenant Dan was a great man, and he had fake legs, so check it.
Oh, Dave, tell me that was you that played the buzzer.
That was not me.
Damn,
that was Jeffy on point with it.
That was on point.
Yeah, holy shit.
I got to get a soundboard.
Yeah, we need to get you a soundboard, that's for sure. I'm going to get you one. Yeah, but a great connect, man. We liked her a lot. Big shout out to her. Such a great conversation, such a great talk. Thanks for the connection there, Dave. She was great.
No problem. Yeah, Monty's awesome.
Yeah, such a fun conversation. So good anyway, sister. Moving on to the next conversation here. Joined now by another faction member, the one, the only, Chef Dan. Hey, brother.
Yo, what's going on?
Dude, do you love Monte Carlo as much as we do now?
Oh, absolutely. I was listening to that just hanging on to my phone, went, oh my god, this is a great conversation. She's amazing. Like, all the things she was saying, all the things she's going through, I'm like, yo, I feel her on every level.
Every level, no doubt about it. Dan, we put out earlier on Instagram a poll talking about, you know, Jeffy, tell them about the poll. You worded it better than I did.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So the poll was basically, have you ever thought up a dish that in your head it sounded amazing, but it was kind of a fail when you went to execute it or when you put it out? Like, it didn't actually work in like when you put it all together.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all had some of those, and I want to give you gentlemen here in the faction a couple minutes to think about that and see if there's something you can think of that you can throw out there. But while we're doing that, I want to read a couple of these that came through on the old Instagram. One of the ones that I got that I thought was pretty interesting was from Good Brother, who I miss very much so. Chef Nick Callia sent one, which I thought was great. He said he thought cornmeal. Hang on, how did he word it? Yeah, he said cornmeal and jalapeno encrusted beef tenderloin. Now, okay, it kind of sounds like it might be good, doesn't it?
Yeah, like an en croute, but with like a southern twist, maybe.
Kind of, yeah. He said it was fucking the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, dude, sometimes it happens, bro.
It sounds kind of good, doesn't it? I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I was feeling it for a minute, but you know, Jeff, you got a couple too, didn't you?
Yeah, I got one really good one. The other one was kind of a joke. So I read it, but one that was serious from a good brother, Chef Michael Massetti, a good brother that I've worked with back in my JK days. He worked with us. Great guy, great chef, great golf player. He says he was going to make a matcha misu, a green tea tiramisu.
Oh boy.
So he wanted it to be a matcha sponge soaked in matcha with a sake cream, clementine, candied zest, a white chocolate ice cream.
You lost me still... at sake cream. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, so he said sounds it still like sounds time. Great in my head. But he couldn't get the cake right, and he said both the flavor and the consistency. He's like, I only tried it once, and he had never really worked with matcha before, but he's like, that's not an excuse.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'm down with that. Sake cream, Dan, when you hear that dish read off, what strikes you as being like, ooh, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, matcha misu sounds actually pretty good. I was like, all right, I'm with that too.
Yeah,
it's a great place. Cream. I went there one time. They have a mountain. I climbed it. It was great. I got a bumper sticker.
Matcha misu. Oh,
hey, okay.
You have to yodel.
Here we go.
Okay, terrific.
There you go. Sorry.
You're lederhosen.
I don't think there's lederhosen in Machu Michu or Machu.
You get like llamas and shit and yeah. Machu Misu. Yeah.
So it's a,
I got this. I would make this, but I'm with you, Plum. Drop the sake.
Yeah, Dan. What do you think? What do you hear off that? It sounds terrible.
Yeah, the sake. That sake doesn't have a flavor that I really want in cream.
Mm-mm. I don't think even good sake tastes good. To be honest with you.
No, that's not true, dude. I've had the best sake in the world recently. It's called Super 7. It's 7%, you know, is left when after they turn. They use 7% of the original grain to make the sake, and it's like it's nothing like you've ever tasted in your life, dude. I'm telling you, it was like ethereal. I was blown away. I drank half a bottle almost. I was like,
bring me a bottle.
Damn, yeah,
like dude, it's like it's. Stupid expensive. I was at an event and I was just really lucky that the guy who's throwing the event loves me and hooked me up.
The good news is that Dan, our friend, is Big Money Jeffy. So for Christmas, we're all getting a bottle of that bullshit. That's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah. Not bullshit. Super 7. Look it up, man. It'll make you cry.
No, I'm excited. I can't wait. You're getting it for us for Christmas. I can't wait.
Yeah, man. I'm going to give everybody a thimble.
Hey. that's all right. Hey, make sure you send a bottle of that to our new friend Monty too. She'd love to have that. Dave, when you hear that dish, what sounds terrible in that to you?
Probably the matcha on matcha. Like I like matcha, but sometimes too much of it kind of gives it. You get like a seaweed flavor, or like so
cat foodish.
For me, I think the sake cream could be fun. Mm-mm. Sounds like a movie I watched once.
Okay. Hey, well, okay, all right, whoa.
So,
whoa,
I think he's. Putting it together though, like the ice cream and everything, for me a tiramisu is like pretty simple. It's only a few ingredients, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like I can see this working if it were just like the green tea on some nice homemade lady fingers with like a white chocolate like the mascarpone custard, you know, and then maybe like a little more powdered sugar and matcha on top.
Well, what if you soaked the ladyfingers in the sake? Could you sweeten sake and do it that way?
See, I don't like the sake in it at all for me. For me personally, the sake is where I would actually put some clementines next to it, like, or, you know, maybe like a couple on top or something.
Right.
To like bite, you know, cut through some of the other stuff. I like that. But, and I like the idea of white chocolate with matcha. I think those flavors are really great together, but the sake to me, unless you were going to get something crazy good where it tastes like melon and all these other beautiful things, it's a tough for me. a tough mix. Right. I'm not sure where Michael's going with it.
Right on. Dan, you got a dish that you thought sounded good that when you made it, it was just bullshit?
Yeah, we're going to go back. We're going to go back a ways. All so
right, let's go.
Once I made this dish for my family, and I was like, I was a kid. I was either in the Army at the time or I was about to go to the Army, and I made this dish. And then I got to the Army and I said, I'm going to make this dish because my family was like, oh, yeah, it's good. So I had a recipe for something that I was going to make, and I was like, oh, I'm going to make it my way. So what I did was it was simple, run of the mill barbecue chicken. So I'm in the Army, and Army, they have very strict recipes you have to follow. And I was like, fuck your recipes. I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do. So my idea was to take mayonnaise and put it in barbecue sauce and dip my chicken in it. And it did not go over well. And they were threatening me with being court-martialed for not following a direct order. Yo, I was standing in the back about to cry. They're like, do you know what you did? Why would you do this? There's no reason for you to have ever done this. And I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. I never should have done this.
Whatever happened to good brother Dan in the Army? Well, remember, Tom, that one, you heard a story about the guy with the mayonnaise and the barbecues? Yeah, that was Dan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit. That was him?
Yeah.
Yep, that was him. So what happened to him?
Shut up, dummy.
Got it. Damn, bro.
Yeah, it was terrible. That was a rough day, man. That was a rough day. I'll never forget that.
But you're not too far off, man. There's a great barbecue. It's, you know, an Alabama White is a barbecue
sauce.
Alabama
barbecue, yeah.
Yeah, which is delicious, you know, made with mayo.
I was just ahead of my time, that's all.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mix it with regular barbecue, but yeah. I mean.
Well, you could be like a vodka barbecue or something.
Yeah, it has to be a specific type of sauce that would mix well.
Vodka
yeah,
barbecue. Get the fuck out of here.
Dan's out here making that pink barbecue. Get it, Danny.
There you go. It's like a la vodka.
Well, damn. Have you tried to correct it since?
I have not, but now I feel like I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
We brought up some memories of PTSD going on right now, but once I get over that, I think I'm going to be all right.
That's hysterical. Yo, coming in here on the Instagram stories as well. Pulling it up right now. We've got El Salazar 82 says, P.F. Chang's copycat lettuce wraps. They ended up eating McDonald's. I guess P.F. Chang's makes some bullshit lettuce wraps.
Nah, P.F. Chang's lettuce wraps are pretty dope. I like them.
I'm not familiar, but that's what somebody said. So I'm just reading it off. I guess the lettuce wraps are copycat of something else. And
no, they probably were doing a copycat.
Oh, they tried to copy them and fucked them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you're right on that. They tried to copycat the lettuce wraps, fucked them up, and then, you know, well, ate McDonald's instead. So. Sorry about that. You know, listen, you got to be careful. You're going to copycat something. Make sure you know what the fuck you're doing, right? You got to make sure you know. So, El Salazar 82, sorry about your luck. Jeffy, what else you got there on your social medias?
It didn't make sense. So I don't want to share the other one that came through. But
really? Okay.
I've messed up a couple dishes in my life. Maybe like two or three.
No.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it. What happened?
I feel like one of the most memorable ones for me was like, again, I was like Dan, I was younger in cooking and I didn't go to culinary school, so I didn't understand some things and I get high. So I had this bright idea where I was like I think Guinness and short ribs would be amazing if I cooked it together. So I had this like whole thing where I'm like doing the Guinness, but I didn't add any stock. I just put like a shit ton of Guinness in and then cooked it like way down.
How'd that taste?
And everyone was like pretty pissed. Like they were like, and it smelled great. Like as it was cooking all day. So we were all like hanging out, partying, and then it was like time to eat, and everyone was like, "Gross, dude! Oh man, ew! What happened?" And I'm like, I don't know. And I like had no answers, and I just feel like a dumbass.
Well, it's funny because in retrospect, now as a chef with all the experiences you got, that's actually not a hard fix.
No. I actually went back and you know learned and you know figured out what I did wrong, and made it again, like a, probably like, you know, maybe 6 months later or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was great. But the first time I did, and it was funny because my wife was breaking my balls, like, oh, you sure you want to cook that? You know, you sure you want to, sure you want to make that? You know, because I was like, yes, I want to make it. I want it to be good. You know, like,
damn. Was like,
yeah.
Damn. But Dave, what about you, man? Have you ever like cooked an alcohol down too low, or cooked a beer down thinking it was a good idea and turns out it was a terrible idea? Or you're from Detroit, so maybe you're using malt liquor. I don't know.
Oof. That was doesn't tip, even hear you. Anymore.
That was tips from Dave. Thanks for joining us, Dave. He's on mute. That's why.
It's crickets over here. All right.
Oh shit! I was talking the whole time. Hold on a second.
He was thinking about casseroles.
No, he's like.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, casserole. I've done it with a pork loin, kind of something similar. I was like, oh, I'm just gonna use a bunch of beer, and I use like an Oktoberfest or something, and that didn't really work out well.
No, not the way you wanted it to.
Not at all. Like I didn't. Like I was just like, I'm gonna cook it in beer and garlic and see what happens. And it was horrible.
What about you, Dan? Have you ever fucked around and made cooked an alcohol too down low, too low?
Not alcohol, but juice, and it was too sweet.
Damn.
Yeah, I used like a juice concentrate, and then I cooked it down, thinking, oh, I'm gonna really get these flavors going, and it was like soup. It ended up actually being really bitter. Because it cooked down so far that it was like this, that syrup, and it was just not good.
You know, it's funny because we learn, you know, the mistakes that we do in the kitchen are kind of some of the greatest teachers that we have, you know?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. I love when I fuck up because then it's like, all right, I know what not to do next time.
Yeah. I mean, it's some of the best learning tools you can have. I tell people all the time, you know, people I work with and doing parties, specifically people I work with, you know, I said, listen, if something's bad or you don't like it, tell me, because I can't get better if every time I cook something you tell me it's amazing.
So 100%.
Getting that feedback is good, and it's not always, and listen, this is more of a PSA here for everybody, you know, don't take it as a bad thing. Don't take it as a personal attack. Take it as it's a way to get better, you know? I mean, literally, I just said it. If you're told it's beautiful, it's delicious every single time, if you get your balls tickled every time you cook a dish, you'll never get better.
That'd be nice. I did a dish that was a Singapore noodle salad that was like that, that I was told it was terrible, and I fixed it, and then I ended up being on the cover of the food article of the New York Times holding that dish.
What?
That was pretty cool, because I was like, that. It was. I was told it was terrible. They were like, oh, this is not working for you.
Fuck yeah, Dan.
Hold on a second, Dan. You dropped this. Let me pick this up for you. The New York Times.
Yeah. It was a food article in the New York Times. Talking about the pantry and what we do.
How long ago was that shit?
Maybe four. No, longer than that. Maybe 5-6 years ago.
Man, you need to be taught. Did they mention you by name in there?
Yes. Me and Andy are on the cover. Man, I have the picture. It's in the office of the pantry. At the pantry.
Yo, you need to put that shit on your resume. That shit needs to be out there. That's important.
Cool. Yeah, no, it was It's good being recognized like that, because you're like, oh shit, you know, this is, you know, turn something around. And that's what it is. It's learning. Every day, I have a timer now set for 7:30 that I have to write down a new recipe every single day, because every day you should be trying to figure out something. You know, you're trying to challenge yourself to do something new every day. And learning is mistakes. Mistakes is learning. That's what it is.
Wow. And there you go, Dan. Dan sat down and got his corn cob pipe out and broke some knowledge again for us. Did you hear it?
Dude, that's our boy right there. Hey, learning. Dan, learning is learning. Mistakes is learning.
Several times we girls like, yo, we like when we get Dan on it. He just all of a sudden out of nowhere, we're making dick jokes. And Dan's like, yo, let me tell you boys something right now. Sometimes we sit down and we talk about it. The world is the world, and we got to be a part of it. It's moving, and we got to keep moving with it, because we're people, man. And we don't take care of each other, no one's going to eat. So if you're not eating, the world's going to spin around you.
Yeah, word.
Man. We're word. Like, yeah, your right. Like, your I don't know what the fuck he just said, but damn right.
Yo, so to answer your question, Plum. Yeah.
When the sun, the moon, the stars collapse.
Yo, look,
especially like, yo, what, look, what was when that? He, what was who wait, was like
Jeffy,
that?
When he breathes in, that's how you know it's gonna be some shit. When he's like, dude, listen,
what's the name of that rapper? He reminds me of a rapper. Like, he was like part of Wu-Tang, but he would do that. He would like all his raps were like
GZA.
No, yeah, GZA, but there was another one. He was like one of the one of the later ones. He wasn't like Wu-Tang, like the original nine. He was like one of the guys that like would like
one
rap
of the other
with them.
74 that joined the band.
No, but fuck, man. He was.
I hope it wasn't the one that cut his dick off.
No. No. I don't know his name, but that's a commitment
that was
there.
Fucked up.
Yo, Dave, who's he talking about, Dave?
God.
What?
Are you talking about you, God?
No. He said not one of the original seven.
No. I don't know. I don't know anybody outside of the original seven.
A lot of Dark Man.
No, oh, he's dope, though.
We can name Wu-Tang members all day long.
Baby Huey.
No.
You sound like you're angry at me for that, Jeffy. What happened?
Okay, I'm mad at myself for not knowing shit.
Well, if you want to find it, I'll keep talking. You can Google it for a minute on your phone.
Googling while we're talking. I can multitask, man.
That's it.
This shit is fucking ugly for my brain sometimes.
You know, it's funny because there's lots of dishes out there, and I think trial and error. Who?
Kill a Priest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love Kill a Priest.
That's who he reminds me of.
Damn.
Okay.
All right, well.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Sorry. I think the moment had passed. Maybe that's what it was.
Well, it was stuck. I was stuck. It was killing me.
Yeah, I think that when you make food and you cook food for a living, you know, it's everybody has a bad day. You know, I don't care how long you've been cooking for, it's going to be a bad day. But, you know, most of the days are good, but it's the bad days that you learn the most from. And, you know, I used to joke all the time. My mom was a shitty cook. She was a drizzling shit. She was fucking terrible as a cook. And the one thing she would always make was lasagna, right? And she would put cream cheese on lasagna as she was building it, and part of me was like, oh, that's a smart move. But then when you really think about it, she put cream cheese on it, gentlemen, because she didn't know what the fuck ricotta cheese was. She had no idea what ricotta cheese was. She said, looks like cream cheese, I'll put cream cheese on this shit. And let me tell you something, man, you know, it's a mistake, it's not correct, but to this very day, when I make lasagna here at my house, yo, I put a little cream cheese on top. I'm not even gonna lie, I finish it with cream cheese, and it's fucking delicious.
The sugars in it caramelize.
It's good.
I would imagine, and add a little flavor.
Hey, man.
Cream cheese on lasagna is a win, I'm telling you.
Dog. I mean, mascarpone people put in lasagna, it's like a kind of like a cream cheese.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see why she wouldn't have went for cottage cheese. She went for fucking cream cheese?
Well, cottage cheese doesn't look anything like ricotta. It's like lumpy and shit.
No, I've heard that. I've heard cottage cheese a lot.
Ricotta, yeah. Cottage cheese and ricotta are actually very similar. It's like a loose, creamy curd. Yeah, they're similar. They're actually pretty similar.
My grandma's done it that way.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
I'm not trying to talk shit about grandma.
I'll take cream cheese over cottage cheese.
Thank you. Right. It wouldn't surprise me, too, if my mom didn't know what cottage cheese was.
Bro.
She didn't know what that shit was.
I eat a big bowl of cottage cheese right now, dog.
Damn. Jeffy's just going to keep... Steamroller Jeffy's here.
Just stomping over words.
Sorry.
Oh, shit.
Kill a Priest!
Oh, shit. Yo, we keep fucking around. Dave's gonna tell us about how they make lasagna in Detroit. This shit's a thin crust.
It's one noodle sauce and cheese.
But it's on a full sheet pan. They do a bunch of them, but it's all one layer.
It's the hood of a
of a fucking Ford. Of a Buick.
Yeah. It's just a hood.
No, it's in a round pan.
That's right. That's right.
But it's one sheet, but it's saltines.
Saltines. Ketchup.
And they use that pancake syrup.
A little government cheese.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Dave, what do they call that?
Shitting on Dave. I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'll take it back.
But
we all had a good laugh about it, so that's what matters, right?
No.
Sorry, Dave.
The city of Detroit hates us.
I got into town. They're like, you friends with that Plum and Jeff and Dan? I was like, nope. They're like, that's right. I was like, alright.
Dave's putting his jacket on, covered up his Plum Love Food shirt, even though it's 75 degrees.
Yo.
Hey, it's about time to put a bow on this, man. I want to do a big shout out to our new friend, Monte Carlo. She is amazing. I really enjoyed that conversation with her. I hope to make friends with her and stalk her on Instagram. And you can find her there on all social medias. Jeffy, where do we find her on those socials?
At The Monte Carlo. MONTICARLO. The Monte Carlo.
There you go. And if you haven't done so yet, too, you can also rate, review, and subscribe. The new show, Seasoned, from WNPR. It's all over Apple Podcasts right now, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. It's there. Today's episode aired live, of course, at 3 o'clock and at 11 o'clock tonight on WNPR. We talked all about coffee. I got a lot of coffee knowledge. I had it broken down to me. Listen, before we get out, I'll tell you boys one of the things I learned. You ready? Check this out. Did you guys know that coffee shops were the first places that people would go to learn different things that their governments didn't really want them to learn, right? So you go there, and smart people would be there just talking and discussing them. They called them penny universities. And what ended up happening was they actually it's where the whole, like, idea of voting came from, was from a coffee shop, right? Because people would go there, and they would vote on what the next topic of conversation would be, and that's how we have the democratic voting system now that we have all across the world.
Wow.
Coffee shops. That's,
makes sense. That's
fucking
awesome.
Crazy. Fucking crazy. Anyway, the episode that aired today is all about coffee. It's a great conversation. You got to check that out. It's on anywhere you find your podcast. It's called Seasoned. Definitely give it a listen. It's education. It's fun. Today's episode was really, really fun and a great one. I think you'll like it a lot. In the meantime and in between time, next week, we got a good roundtable here with the boys in the faction. Then coming up after that, our good friend David Weatherly is coming on for our Halloween episode, Jeffy. I can't wait to talk to him.
Dude, I'm so excited. He's one of my favorite guests.
Yo, boys, get your questions ready, Dan. Get your questions ready, Dave. We're going to be talking to one of the best in the world about all this crazy shit going on out there. Supernatural, you name it, he's the man. So he's going to be on here very, very soon. It should be fun having him on.
Can I actually be on? I haven't been on yet. I really have a lot of questions for him. I would love to be on.
Yeah, but let's limit the questions to like three.
I have tons of questions.
Two or three questions.
I want to get deep. Yo, you hear Dan?
Yeah, I did.
I want to take it to like that other level. Like, yo, we can take it places that you haven't even seen.
Yeah, but here's the thing: it's still got to be entertaining and keep him engaged.
Right, keep us engaged, fucking crazy ass. Yo, he's like.
Dan's standing. He's standing up right now. He jumped up. He's like, yo.
He did.
Yo, I'm on top of the table.
Oh, shit. Well,
we can take a place that you've never seen.
Come on. Let's go.
Hulkamania.
There we go. But, yeah, so get your questions ready, boys. We're going to be talking to an expert. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to bring up all the crazy alien shit that, because we're in the middle of a global pandemic, the government's like, oh, yeah, it's real. Never mind. Go back to the pandemic. I can't wait to bring that shit up. It's going to be great. Jeffy, good times tonight, brother.
Absolutely, man. Love it. Thursdays.
It's the way to go for sure. So make sure you check it out. Plum Love Foods Live next Thursday. It's going to be a great show. We got a bunch of them lined up. Dave, we love you, buddy.
I love you guys, too.
Dan, we love you, buddy. Thank you for joining us. Shout out to Monte Carlo. She was amazing to talk to. Cannot wait to talk to her again in the future. And in the meantime and in between time, please remember food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's give it the time it deserves. See you next week.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.